Do you ever wonder how the world's top podcasts come together? The truth is, it's not just about the hosts or the headlines, but it's about the people behind the scenes making the magic happen. Today, I'm sitting down with Brian Waters of The Ringer and Spotify, and he has produced over 1,200 podcast episodes in his career. But Brian's story runs so much deeper than just audio and editing. From carrying cables on the NFL sidelines to producing content for some of the most respected names in media, he's built a career on preparation, consistency, and making others shine. So if you've ever wondered how to build a creative career that lasts, here's the playbook. Let's get into it. Hey, everybody, it's Brad. Welcome back to Making Varsity. Come on, we got Brian H. Waters from The Ringer and Spotify here with us today. Brian, thanks so much for being here, bro.
What's up, man? Appreciate it. I'm going to shout out to Black Wrestler because my brother Fam, who just celebrated a birthday, would always say, make sure you put the H on. Okay. He's more like hardcore about it, especially my lady Queep PR. She was like, it don't even sound right if people just say Brian Waters. It's got to be Brian H. Waters.
I know. I have to hold myself back from just saying it, just Brian H. Waters. You know, so, man, big fan of so many of the shows that you produce on The Ringer.
Thank
man,
you.
I've been on The Ringer for, man, gosh, it's coming up on 10 years, you know, The Ringer is happening. And, man, you produce, you know, The Press Box, all the Ringer wrestling shows, which, those in my audience know, big WWE fan. And so, man, wanted to talk to you a little bit because I don't know that everybody really realizes sort of the behind the scenes of podcast production. Most of the time, your top shows, they're not a one-man band. They're not a one-man show, but there is a whole behind the scenes aspect, and that's where a producer like yourself comes in. And so for those that might know, talk to us a little bit about what's the scope of your work when it comes to podcast producing? What is it that you do? Maybe kind of explain it in lay terms just for our audience.
Well, it's really a lot of listening first. That's the first portion, is listening to the host record their, you know, thoughts and opinions on things. And then once you do that, it's, you know, trimming out some things if you have time. Sometimes if you're in a show where you have to get it out immediately, you may not be able to cut out all the ums and the, you know, but you know, sniffles during this time of year. Definitely kind of want to get rid of those. Sometimes it's hard, you know. I've Reddit boards and social media, you'll see, oh, can you trim this out? You know, I'm not perfect. There's been times where I've left a retake in. You know, I always appreciate a good host when they say, oh, sorry, 3, 2, 1. You know, so there's been times I actually, you know, but I'm always like, I got a note sheet up and I'm writing down the time codes so that I can make sure, you know, I know exactly where I want to put a break in. You know, with the wrestling stuff, you know, me being a wrestling fanatic, I consume a lot of wrestling audio and video. So I know sometimes like, oh, I want to add some music here or some transition music or the scene or something, you know, some audio candy.
Yeah, I love that. And I mean, you know, Spotify heavily invested in podcasts right now. Like that's obvious in all the moves that they're making. And then The Ringer was one of the first movers in that particular space, you know, and was audio only for a long time. And then now I know you guys have really shifted into video, building out your YouTube channel, that type of thing. And so I think we were talking a little bit offline, 1,200 episodes and counting between all the shows that you manage between Wrestling Realm, which is your own show, and then all of the Ringer shows. I mean, there's probably a thing or two, okay, that my man's knows about podcasts. And so, you know, talk to us a little bit about like your preparation process. So when you go into a show, maybe it's The Press Box, a more scripted show versus, you know, Wednesday Worldwide, a little more quick reacts. I mean, what are some of your preparation process, the things that you do heading into a weekly recording?
So it's different, you know, with Press Box, it's that show, it took a lot of audio, you know, sometimes there's I like to look at the script. Shout out to Brian Curtis. You know, I look at the script. And then sometimes it's like, okay, I know I got to get this audio clip to have it ready. With the Wrestling Realm, I went from heavily producing that show as far as the weekly podcast, maybe like the first few weeks. And then at one point, my co-host and brother, Dwayne, took over. So with him, it's, you know, I just kind of get show up, or he'll say, hey, y'all, I'm going to do this. This is the segment. Like, we've introduced two different segments. One week, it's unpopular opinions. So we just bring that to him. But the week before, another week, it may be wrestling around facts. He'll ask a question and he asks us for the answer so he can make the graphics. But that, for me, is a lot of post-production on that show. But preparation, you know, it's definitely, with wrestling, it's a lot of watching television. You know, I don't want to just show up. You know, I've been watching wrestling long enough where I can kind of know, okay, this is the way that story is going to go. But, you know, in the business lately, they've been swerving us. So, you know, I think back when we started the wrestling realm, CM Punk was in WWE getting ready to win the WWE championship from John Cena, and he was angry. Now, years later, CM Punk is back in WWE and he's a happy Punk. He's the best, like, he's the model employee.
Right. And we've got sad Cena now.
Yeah. It's sad Cena. You know, in kayfabe, Roman Reigns wasn't even on the main roster when we started. Now he's the greatest of all time. So, you know, I look back over the years, you know, I appreciate you mentioned, you know, more than 1,200 episodes between all of the shows, because I had to, like, think up. I was like, wait a minute, you know, the Wrestling Realm, I remember we did our 500th episode of the Wrestling Realm, and that's just all the episodes across the board. You know, when we took a break from the Wrestling Realm, the actual show that me and Dwayne was doing, I really wanted, and this is as I'm listening to, like, a lot of different podcasts come across, I wanted to do a weekly show, and I created Break It Down with Brian H. Mm-hmm. And when I created that show, the idea was to talk about what was happening. And that took a lot of preparation each and every week, you know, watching the shows. And with me, even before I made that a live show and video-based show, it was grabbing audio, making sure, you know, I had to create the theme music, the graphics, I created the logo. So it's definitely a lot of preparation. But I always say, like, with podcasting going into it, you want to know where you're going and where you're coming out with.
So with that many reps, I mean, when you're maybe speak to somebody who's maybe considering hosting a show or starting a podcast after that many reps, whether it's in front of the camera or behind the camera, production role or the host role, what are kind of the one or two pro tips that you would give a potential podcast producer or somebody that's thinking about starting their own show? From all of those reps, if you had to distill it down into one or two pro tips, what would they be?
Oh, that's a great question. So one is deciding. Everybody wants a podcast, right? But everybody don't know whether or not that they don't want to host and produce a podcast. It's easy to say, oh, I want to have my own podcast, right?
Yeah.
Cool. But I think what the disconnect, and this is the reason why they always say a lot of people don't get past their first five episodes.
Yeah, yeah, 93%.
They say they want one, but they don't realize how much work goes into producing it themselves. Sure. And because, you know, you can get an app, you know, essentially for free, right? You can take your phone, create it. And at one point there was, you may remember, there was before Spotify for podcasts.
Yeah, Anchor.
Purchase it. Anchor. Yep. Thank you.
Yeah.
So you remember Anchor, you could do the whole thing on your phone.
100%.
Right?
Yep.
And there was that time, but now it's one of those things where it's like, okay, you can get a podcast, you can create your show, but how much time are you willing to put into it to make it sound good, right? But essentially, you can do it for free. But if you, let's say you on a small budget and you say, all right, I want to create a show,
yeah,
right? That's what I say. You have to decide what role do you want. Because if you know that you want to host and produce, you know that's going to take a lot of work. And if you know that, your mindset will switch. If you know you just want to host and you just want to talk about what you want to talk about, fine. Make sure you surround yourself with a producer who is going to guide you. Essentially, y'all should be friends, right? And have a relationship where you know this producer has your best interest at heart, where they know, okay, if you mess up, they're going to remove it. They're not going to cut the show that's going to make you sound crazy or take what you say out of context.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I used, you know, to tell the people I was working with or my clients, like, or guests, you know, on a show of like, hey, we can always edit out something that you say, but I can't edit in something that you don't say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a great way to put it.
And so just kind of having, you know, that natural flow and conversation, and it does, you're 100% right. The best way to learn is through reps. And so, I mean, you kind of started this really as a side hustle, as a hobby, right? Like right out of your house, right out of your apartment. And then it began to really develop. I mean, just looking at your resume, I mean, you have been, I would say you're like the Robert Horry of podcast producers, like just NBA Hall of Fame career journeyman, been through, you know, so many different opportunities, and you've grown in those reps. But now you're working at, you know, what's really, you know, some of the premier talent in podcasting. I mean, was there a certain breakthrough? I mean, I'm not sure exactly when you joined The Ringer, but what kind of gave you the confidence there when you're working with some of that high profile talent to go, no, like I belong here. Like I should have a seat at the table.
It started with more so my knowledge of the content, right? My former manager, he likes to stay in the dark. So I always like to give him his props, but you know, he likes to stay in. I'm gonna say it, go ahead. My former manager, Cassius, we were friends at ESPN, and he let me know, okay, hey, we're looking to expand our WWE content and think you would be perfect for this role. You could teach somebody how to do the bells and whistles and the operation. You can't teach passion, right? And he knew I was passionate about pro wrestling. And then at the time, I was also doing my podcast, Breaking Through Glass Ceilings, which he had been wanting to talk about his career. And because he knew I was passionate about pro wrestling, that's what, you know, brought me there. And he told me straight up, he said, man, he said, you know more about wrestling. He's the only person who probably going to be, only person will be no more than you, Shoemaker. You know? And when they put us together, it was like, you know, it was like finally getting Kobe Bryant, Pau Gasol. You know what I mean? It was like finally, you know what I mean? And not to say by anybody else, because, you know, the former producer was doing a phenomenal job, who was, I consider, even though he's younger than me by 10 years, he's my OG of audio editing, you know. But just me, and at the time, I wasn't even producing The Masked Man. And so it was just me being a part of the team, knowing which way they wanted to go in the wrestling content. So, you know, to answer your question, my passion is what gave me that confidence to go in there and, you know, do exactly what needed to be done.
Yeah. And I mean, it absolutely, having a great producer is really a relationship of trust. Like you said, you alluded to that earlier. And it's not just trust in, like you said, editing out something that like might get me in hot water, but it's also the trust of the preparation. And it's been really cool to just, you know, hear and see your evolution as someone who was kind of behind the scenes for a long time. You were a name that was referenced from time to time. Now you're an on-mic personality on one of the Ringer Wrestling shows as well, once you were worldwide. And so it's been really, really cool to see that evolution as well. Talk to me a little bit about what it's like working with Shoemaker. Like you said, just an encyclopedia when it comes to WWE knowledge. I mean, how do you kind of prep and prepare him to really get the best out of him and Kaz on Masked Man?
Really just making sure the results are in the sheet or news, some things is, you know, and a lot of it's just, you know, those are my guys, right? So it's just like conversation. We make a joke about with WrestleMania coming up. I'll tell people like, yeah, you'll see us in the city, but you'll see us together most of the time.
Yeah.
Like we actually like each other, you know, whether, you know, me, Shoemaker, Kaz, Ben and Cal, we like each other. Like we had an event at work back in October, and it was like all the producers and everybody, writers, everybody was in LA. And in the office, there was like these tables, it's kind of like lunch tables. And like we was all eating lunch. And of course, me, Ben, and Cal together, you know, and it was like people come up to us like, oh yeah, we like the wrestler show. I didn't even know there were colleagues who was listening to it.
Yeah.
You know, but they all, it's like, y'all always together. So, you know, a lot of times it's also just a group chat in between shows.
Sure.
Hey, you know, such and such happened. Did you see this? Did you see this come from wrestling?
Yeah.
Oh, man, you know. So that's really like, you know, obviously they're professionals. They come ready. But it's also just us making sure, you know, we're on the same page. Like, okay, we know this happened. We got to talk about this. You know, and me being a fan, because a lot of times it's like, I can't wait to hear what they have to say about a sure. particular subject. You know, John Cena turning heel. I was like, oh, yeah. Can't wait to hear what they got to say about this.
Yeah. And you're 100% right. I mean, anytime you have those multi-guest shows and multi-host shows is, you know, it's that chemistry is so important. And I mean, I perceive Spotify to probably be a pretty professional environment. How do you have to kind of walk that tightrope between the friendship and professionalism? I mean, is that something that you kind of have to navigate that tension at times?
No, not really. It's very, very loose. You know, full transparency, like Ben is my direct manager. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when it comes time for like the career conversations, I have him just like if we're talking about wrestling, and he's very like open and he listens, you know what I mean? So it's like very direct.
Yeah, I love that, man. I mean, so you're managing multiple shows. And to me, the time management piece has to be a big piece of it. And I don't know if I shared this with you. The reason I'm kind of, you know, leaning into the podcast piece of it, that's what I do is podcast consulting. And, you know, and of course, like there's just some fun crossover here with wrestling. And so you're juggling managing multiple shows, social media accounts, clips, putting clips out. I mean, it's a full-time job just to do one show really, really well. You're juggling multiple. I'd love to know, do you have any systems or processes in place that help you manage that on a week-to-week basis?
No, I'm just crazy. you know, you add that and adding on being a... Well, one would argue, it depends on how people feel about the term, full-time dad. Me and my ex-wife, we have a split custody agreement, but I also like take care, you know, I take my kids to school every day. I'm checking in, and then there's a, you know, week or weekends when they're with me. So with that being said, it's like we're always, you know, I'm always doing that as well. But you know, I try to immediately, as soon as the show is over, I don't like to let it breathe, if that makes any sense, right? Mm-hmm. As soon as the show is over, while my mindset is on, I try to do the social clips right away. If it's like the shows outside of work, you know, because that's what recreation time, essentially, you know, I try to make sure, same thing, get those clips done. If anything that... suffers is my PlayStation 5, you know, where I may not play. Sometimes it's like, man, I done played the game a little bit too much, man.
For sure.
Am I doing enough? You know, when you get used to it. So that's, you know, pretty much like the time balance. But I try to, you know, as soon as that show is over, like once I'm done the show, I try to get right on the social clips, even when I'm going to schedule them out, but at least it's done.
Yeah, and I mean, I imagine that's the biggest challenge with sports, pop culture type podcasts where, you know, it, at least for mine, the, like I have 10, 11 episodes in the can, you know, at a time that, you know, release weekly. You guys, I mean, like you said, when you're reacting live to, you know, to an entertainment show or to a game or to, you know, a sports product, a pop culture moment, like you said, the priority has to be, it has to be fast. So, I mean, is that just kind of part of the culture? Like you guys just kind of shoot from the hip and you just go?
Yeah, pretty much, you know. It's you know, because people want to hear about what's going on now. You know what I mean? And you want to serve the listeners. That's what I do love about Ring of Wrestling Worldwide is because once we went Tuesdays, we, you know, changed the name. I love that we can do the nostalgia freaks because sometimes you can go back and, you know, like we talked about, like, what's our WrestleMania process? How do we get ready for WrestleMania? Well, for me, it's watching old WrestleManias at random. You know, I did the whole watch one through ahead of 31, watch 1 through 30. That is exhausting. So I won't do it that way no more, but I will turn it on and be like, okay, what am I feeling? Oh, let's go back and watch WrestleMania 5, you know, stuff like that.
Absolutely. I have a 4 and a 7-year-old daughter and we are watching through the WrestleManias right now. And we're at WrestleMania 5 there. You can probably see Macho Man hanging out out right
there. Yeah.
NWO Macho Man. But yeah, Macho Man's definitely their favorite. And every once in a while they'll look across the room and they'll look at me and they'll go, "Elizabeth, will you marry me?"
How is that watching like with the kids? Because, you know, sometimes people don't think the older wrestler ages well, but, you know, they obviously, you know, and that's time with you, so that's always going to be a memory. But that sounds cool. See, I did it by myself.
Yeah.
As my now 10-year-old, she was on the way.
Like, yeah.
She was on the way, and then she was here as an infant.
Yeah.
While I was in that process.
So I'll just be vulnerable for a moment. I think I told you a little bit earlier, I was a Laps fan for 20 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't pick it back up until I went through a divorce myself. And so it was one of those things where I was actually prepping for a summer camp internship that I used to run. And we wanted something to kind of spice up some of the team games for the summer. And so we got one of these like custom made trophy smack belts, kind of like those belts behind you, which, by the way, very jealous of your WWE collection. Got to get a couple of those. But we got a custom belt, like one of the legit, I mean, it was like a good hefty, you know, 8 pounds. And I it was one of those things. It was just kind of a random deal. I'm just going to lean back in and kind of see, you know, see what's going on. And so I love podcasts, searched it, you know, but was always already a fan of like the Ringer shows. And then that's how I came across Mass Man Show, Cheap Heat at the time, I think Mac Mania at the time. And so I just leaned back in. And so it was one of those things where, you know, and you know this when you fall in love with a show that you love, where you get to know the people on that show, like weird way. That's what I always say, like podcasting is such an intimate medium because those people almost become like almost like part of your friend group, even if you've never chatted before, because like you said, you see something that happens on Monday night or Friday night or at one of the PLEs, and then you lean in, you go, man, I want to hear what my friends have to say right this week.
That's what happened with me listening to Maybe I'm Crazy with Joy Taylor, and it was like her and Brandon Newman at the time, and I would tweet, and I remember one day Brandon tweeted like randomly, he said something along the lines of this guy always he always supports me on my adventures. And I was like, oh wow, you know. And then same with Joy Taylor, you know, and then getting a chance to meet her, you know what I mean. And like with Conrad Thompson, like I had actually had like before the split, I had my house refinanced through his mortgage company. And at WrestleMania 38 that weekend, I went up to him and I said, hey man, you know, I just want to let you know, like I went through your company and I talked to the lady Diane that you always mention on the show, and she was nice. So, you know, I know exactly how you feel.
Yeah. And so it was that for me. And so I leaned back in, and part of it in kind of going through that healing season for me was wrestling became this thing where no one else in my life liked it. And it became this thing where I almost needed it. It was honestly, it sounds crazy, but it really was part of my healing journey as I was kind of going through therapy, counseling, and doing that, because I felt like it was my thing. Like I felt like I needed something that was just mine. And so as a result, my daughters kind of started leaning in, and my parents found some of my old action figures from when I was 9 years old. All right. And they boxed them up that Christmas and they gave them to me. And it was like the coolest gift. And so of course my kids were curious about it. And so I started kind of like going through a little bit of the history. It was like, oh, you're going to love Macho Man. And so they fell in love with Macho Man. That's how it happened. But their favorite wrestler now is Becky Lynch. Of course they miss Becky. They're ready for Becky to come back. But, let's just say their mom's super thrilled about them watching wrestling. And so, and so it's great though, because it's just one of those like, hey, dad's gonna be dads, you know what I mean? Dad's gonna be dad stuff. And so that's been a cool part of the journey. And
I love it.
You know, yeah, man. I so first of all, like I know that I wanted to say thank you, man, because I know it can be a thankless job working behind the scenes. And of course, you know, you think, okay, this is just kind of a fun entertainment show, but you just have no idea, you know, what some of those podcasts, what some of those shows mean to people. Because for me in that season where there was so much chaos going on, it was a little bit of that escape where I'm like, man, I get to meet up with my friends and talk about like what's going on. So bro, I wanted to make sure we didn't hop off today without me being able to say thank you. And you just kind of teed it up for me there.
Oh, no problem, man. I'm you know, I'm never take any of this for granted, you know what I mean? Because it's, you know, so cool, and it's so cool, and so many things, you know, we get to do and, you know, connect with people. And you never know, like, how much things you have in common with people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I didn't know that about your story either. And so it just, that being able to come out as, and, you know, it eventually led to, you know, me being kind of pivoting into a new stage of my career. And what if I told you that your voice could be the most powerful asset in your business? And what better way to use your voice than starting a podcast? In fact, a comprehensive podcast strategy could be the missing link in your business's marketing mix. But how do you get started, and how do you make sure that it actually works? That's where my team at Made by Varsity can help. Made by Varsity is a full-service podcast agency that helps brands and entrepreneurs establish trust, build connections, and grow their business. So whether you need coaching and consulting to get set up, or you need turnkey solutions to manage and market your show from week to week, we've got you covered. Just head over to madebyvarsity.com and book a call with me today. All right, back to the episode. And I, and you know, kind of get back to the social media piece of it. I know you have a little bit of church background too, and so my first kind of crack at, you know, cutting social media clips and things was taking messages or things from keynote speeches, and then kind of finding those moments that pop to be able to share on social media. So I'm curious. You mentioned earlier, okay, I'm in the middle of a podcast recording and I'm marking out timestamps. Mm-hmm. What is it that, like, live in the moment, how do you know, okay, we're going to clip that later? Is there a process for that? Is there kind of an instinct that you have where you go, that's going to be a share-worthy clip?
It's just an instinct, honestly. Sometimes, you know, if you would like it or something you would tell your friends, you know what I mean? So, like, you know, just to kind of peel back the curtain a little bit, sometimes, like, when recording, I'm WhatsApping my girlfriend, and who's a huge wrestling fan as well, and podcaster, and I'll say, hey, yo, so-and-so just said this, this, that, and the other. So I know if it's something I'm going to tell her, you know, because what I love about her is, like, you know, we can't hide from wrestling news, but we know how to enjoy it with each other. Mm-hmm. And we both enjoy it the same way. Like, there's so many different ways people enjoy wrestling. And I'll tell people all the time, don't send me news during WrestleMania season. This is the time I want to be in disbelief. I want to go to the shows. I want to watch the shows and not know what's going on. You know, yeah. Like, what made Cena's heel turn so great? Sure, some people may have predicted it, but there was nothing that leaked that said John Cena rumored to turn and join The Rock. That's what made it so great, you know? So with that, sometimes those instincts of, like, if there's something somebody say, or sometimes it could be an intense debate, like, oh, back and forth, like, oh, wait, but this is something that two people are clearly on opposite sides that I know somebody else will be on one side or the other.
Right. So, I mean, the John Cena turning heel piece of it, we're going to get into some wrestling talk here a little bit. So for people who are completely out of touch, or you're living under a rock somewhere, if you didn't know, John Cena, 25-year career, has always been what's considered in wrestling terms a baby face, right? A good guy. Yep. Okay. There was a short run where he was a bad guy. But then out of nowhere, shockingly, about a month ago, turned heel. Talk to us a little bit about what was the significance of that moment, and then how does it impact kind of a show like yours of being able to, you know, unpack that news?
Well, you know, the significance of the moment is when you just have somebody who's been so good, so, you know, humble, so the person that kids look up to as their superhero, when they're in this role for so long, no matter what, like, new kids are born, right? And we're at the point where some of John Cena's fans who were kids when he first became the good guy, hustle, loyalty, respect, some of them are parents now. Mm-hmm. So, and then they're watching their kids become Cena fans. My daughter was sitting there and she was like, I don't know how to feel about him no more, you know? And so you see that, and then you see that switch where now he's going against the grain. He's going against everything he said before. He's telling people he's going to ruin wrestling. And that's a moment where, you know, where you look at, like, if you know, I'm not the biggest, like, comic book fan, but, you know, I was a Spider-Man. Like, I watched the Spider-Man movies, and Spider-Man decided he was a bad guy, you know? Batman decided he was a bad guy. So that's the significance. And so with that, you just, it's like one of those things where everybody's Radar talk, and let's break this down. Why did he do this? What could come about it? What's going to change? And I said that he was taking shots. He knew what people were saying when he said, you don't get no changes. I'm going to still use my music. I'm still going to dress how I dress. You know, everybody just knew, like Hulk Hogan, when Hulk Hogan turned heel and became Hollywood Hulk Hogan, he had new music and he had a new outfit. Everybody thought John Cena was going to do the same, but so far he hasn't.
And I love that so much. And for those that, you know, may not kind of be leaned into the product, you know, of course, you know, non-wrestling fans all the time, you know, right? They hit you with the classic, hey, you know, this stuff's not real, right? And it's like, hey, you realize the Avengers isn't real either, right? You know,
exactly. And so
it's the suspending of disbelief that makes it fun and kind of leaning into it. And if you don't know, I mean, there's a whole any creatives, I think if anybody's in any creative profession would absolutely appreciate what WWE and just wrestling as a whole is doing right now, just because of the storytelling aspects. I mean, and so I network and speak to marketers. We've had several guests on this show where we talk about storytelling. Hey, you want to really lean in and learn some good storytelling, man, just watch WWE, especially in that lead up to WrestleMania. And it's a new era. I mean, maybe talk to somebody who hasn't watched wrestling maybe since the Attitude Era, right? Stone Cold, old school. Right now, what if you had to convince someone, right, to lean back into it, what would you say?
That's a really good question. You know, I think it's always my go-to is find somebody who you connect with. You know, right now it's kind of on pause, but I would always go back to my favorite storyline ever. That's the Bloodline story.
Sure.
I got a whole 4 hours right there on YouTube. It's to a point with my sister when she like retwists my hair. It was the point in time for like two of those years, like, okay, catch me up. Let's put on this YouTube video. Where do we leave off at? To the point when Jay wrestled Roman Reigns at SummerSlam, it was like, it wasn't time for her to redo my hair. But like once I got back in town, she came over and said, let's watch this match, you know. And she didn't know Jimmy was going to turn on Jay, and she was upset. So, you know, I always said, like, if you're a soap opera fan, which like me, I am. I'm a fan of Beyond the Gates and Young and the Restless. So if you're a soap opera fan, that's what professional wrestling is, you know. So I always tell people, you know, find that story that's going to hook you, you know. Look at Jey Uso and watch the fans react to him, and you'll see why he is in the position that he is. Look at Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes is the ultimate good guy when, you know, being in Fanatics Fest inside the Javits Center, you could barely, like, hear because the kids were so loud.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and there's something for everybody. So whether you're invested in the major storylines, but even just like the comedic ones, I mean, just the one yesterday with Chad Gable coming out as, you know, El Grande Americana, and my barber, he's from Mexico. And so I sent him, you know, we've been talking, you know, all about like Lucha Underground and different things. And okay, I sent him, was like, hey, I bet you never heard of this luchador before. And so just having so much fun with it, you know, and figuring that out. And so, I mean, I would love you to talk a little bit about, because you've mentioned, you know, you travel some with the Ringer, you know, you interview some of the WWE superstars. Talk to me a little bit about your approach and really the team's approach as you head into those interviews. I mean, we're talking about some of these WWE superstars have had hundreds, sometimes thousands of interviews. Right. Mm-hmm. And so you have to approach that probably from a unique angle, especially if they've gone through, you know, so many different things. What's some of the preparation process getting ready for and prepping one of those interviews, whether it's for a live show or otherwise?
The two biggest things is one, listening to what they're saying and feeding off. And then also, you know, just figuring out what's different, you know, that way you figure out what's different, how you could be different is doing your research, you know. Like, I'll give you one, like Jada Parker, right? Mm-hmm. We were probably one of the first of, like, amongst our first interviews. So it wasn't a whole lot of stuff out there that she had did, but, you know, I definitely have wanted to do my research. But then take somebody like Roxanne Perez or even Bianca Belair. It's like, okay, well, she's always talks about this. She's always talks about that. Maybe it's a follow-up question, or maybe it's a totally different direction, or let's see what their interests are. You know what I mean? Like, I knew for our anniversary show, for our first anniversary show, we had Bianca Montez on. It was ahead of Loving WWE doing that press run tour. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I knew that Bianca was a huge Power fan. So I asked her about the TV show Power and, you know, Montez is a fan. Like, I think I said, your team goes to Team Angela, because that's always a thing in the Power universe. So it's a matter of just finding, like, how you can relate.
Yeah, and there's something about a guest's eyes, too, that light up, too, when you're able to kind of discover, you know, one of those facts and, like you said, attack it from a different angle rather than kind of asking sort of the same, you know, hashed questions, you know, time and again and figuring that journey out. And so, man, I'd love to talk a little bit about, man, some of the early parts of your career. I mean, you really kind of started from the bottom and then moved your way up. I mean, literally carrying cables on, you know, NFL sidelines and then having, you know, multiple stops in your career. I mean, talk a little bit about, like, I guess your career journey and maybe what you learned, you know, at each stop on the career as you went through that proverbial process of paying your dues.
You know, it's really just, I mean, wow. Lessons learned is, you know, double check everything, you know, but also just don't be afraid of criticism and feedback. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think as always, you know, that's how you get better. It's just not being afraid of criticism and feedback.
Yeah. What was one of the biggest pieces of feedback that you got early on, maybe in your career? Not necessarily technical feedback, but just even career feedback, leadership feedback that really shaped you in a big way?
Never being afraid to be myself. You know, anybody can do the job, but nobody else can be me. You know, and I've always rested on that and knowing that when, if I'm being myself, then I'm doing my best.
Yeah. So, I mean, what would you say to somebody? I mean, I always like to speak to people who are, you know, really maybe in their first or second year of their career, you know, mm-hmm. and kind of those JV years, so to speak, and, you know, the show's making varsity. I mean, looking back on that, what was some of the early advice that you got that really set the trajectory of your career as you were navigating that?
One of my favorite pieces of advice or things said was from my boy D'Angelo when we was at ESPN, and I was learning how to prompt, and he said either somebody want to see you mess up or they want to see you do a good job when they show you. He said, but learn how to do the job and do it your best. He said, if they want to see you mess up, use that as your motivation. But if they trying to help you, use that and don't disappoint, you know. So, but that was I remember it was because I was like, prompting was difficult, you know. So that was the thing.
When you say prompting, what exactly do you mean?
Oh, like running a teleprompter. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So you had to, and the thing about running a teleprompter was not only was you just operating the machine, you had to get the scripts. And so if it's two hosts, yellow was when they speak, pink was when they were silent. So you had to sort it, which is the most annoying thing. I'm like, this is 2014. Like, this is 2014. Why does it do it automatically? But you had to print both of those sheets and sort it out. Yeah. And most of the time it would be like 10 minutes before the show start. I mean, all right, in all fairness, 20 minutes before the show start, but you had to get it done and then go about, it felt like a mile from one side of the ESPN campus to the other to get it to the host. It was definitely a rush. I did it 5 times, but those were 5 very, very stressful times.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, any type of production, whether it's live production, doing podcasts, whatever, you're going to make mistakes, you know. And so just learning to, you know, like you said, double check, triple check everything. And you can do everything right, and sometimes the technology fails you, right? I had an interview literally just last week, Bomb, and I just told her, I was like, hey, we're going to have to reschedule. It's just not our day. You know, we just got to figure things out. And so, but yeah, man, I mean, talk to me a little bit about just the really how we talked some about this, but how do you prepare and tee up those big personalities, right, to lead with confidence? I mean, to really discover the content that's going to resonate with the audience. I know, you know, that's one of the powers of, you know, podcasts is really the community that's around it. And I think mm-hmm. one thing that Wednesday Worldwide does a good job at is really listening into the audience, even, you know, some of the segments that you guys have allowing for audience call-ins and stuff. Mm-hmm. So talk to me a little bit about community management as you're sort of the importance of building a tribe and building a community around that particular podcast.
Well, I think it's important because I've always been one that, as you know, see somebody who loves wrestling and connecting with them, you know, because I always, you know, I've said this on plenty of shows. I got made fun for loving this. And I always said that, where was all these people when I was growing up getting made fun of this? You know, so knowing that and having that love and, you know, having people who are like-minded, you know, I think that's very important. And I've always find like, okay, we in this together. You know what I mean? So if I can, you know, hear what somebody else has to say, if I can hear their hot take or answer their questions, you know, I'm willing to. A lot of times, you know, there's been times like when I've been at like Fanatics Fest or WWE World and I see people, they come up and they want to take a photo. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, because at the end of the day, who am I? But, you know, and then I'm like, I'm so sorry, I got to go, because being a producer, most of the time, I'm on the run.
Yeah.
You know, but if someone says, oh, what's up? Finally getting to meet you. You know, and I always try to make sure I give people time. You know, I never, ever, ever want to be that guy, you know?
Yeah, you're 100% right. There's just something about seeing somebody out in the wild with a wrestling t-shirt and then you sort of lock eyes and there's mm-hmm. just this understanding like, you're my people. You know what I'm
yep,
saying?
Exactly.
And so anyway, I know Raw's coming to I'm in Kansas City. And so Raw's coming to Kansas City a couple weeks after WrestleMania. So we'll be on the backside of it. And so, all right. So let's talk a little bit about the road to WrestleMania. Okay. We've gotten through some of the career journey, the podcasting piece of it. All right. Mm-hmm. So we've talked a little bit about the Cena heel turn. How do we feel like everything's cooking so far? I think this episode will be released week of WrestleMania, but how are you feeling about the road to WrestleMania so far in 2025 for WrestleMania 41?
It's fine. I know I feel like there's a lot of slowly developments in the stories, so I know a lot of people are upset, but I would say it's solid. Is it as intense last year's? No. But I've seen worse roads to WrestleMania. So, you know, maybe on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to give it a 7. I'm not going to give it a 3, but sure. I'm going to give it a 7. I do think it's going to constantly turn up.
Yeah. Besides the Cena Cody Rhodes story, what storyline has you most intrigued right now?
The Naomi and Jade because Bianca of it all. So navigating through that, I would say that one, as well as Roman Reigns, CM Punk, and Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
What's up with this favor, man?
Yeah. So, are they pulling Bianca from the story, or are they just kind of setting her aside for a little bit? Like, what's going on there? Because it feels like that's a loose end, no?
I think it's a loose end on purpose. I think two things can happen. I think Jay or Naomi, once they're finished with each other, could go after Bianca.
Yeah.
Once she's the champion. Or I think one of them could ruin her WrestleMania streak.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why I think it's quiet right now, which I like.
Yeah.
I want to see Bianca win. I want to see her have that streak, but I do like that they're staying away, but they're still mentioning her on social media. This is a very social media driven feud, which I love.
For sure. And I mean, that's really the storytelling element that's happening right now, where a lot of the heels, a lot of bad guys are, you know, there's an element of truth where they feel right and justified in their own way. I mean, you look at Kevin Owens, you look at Drew McIntyre, right? You look at, you know, and so you could absolutely see a world in which Jade turns heel eventually because there's a justification, there's a justice mm-hmm. element to it. Where does she go too far with it?
Yeah,
you know, and
exactly.
You know, and so there's so many things that's happening on that level. I can't wait to see, you know, what the favor is. That's a big one. So you're headed over to Vegas, right, for mm-hmm. for WrestleMania. What's the week look like? I don't know if are you guys doing any live shows? Are you like what's the run schedule? We don't know the
exact schedule, but generally, you know, I'll say, you know, for the past 3 years, it's always been, you know, record the show in person, then, you know, do like a prediction show, and then also we'll do a you know, interview some wrestlers. You know, it could be at WWE World. Last year we did at WWE World, and we did some interviews on site that wasn't necessarily in the WWE World part, but they were still like in person. Last year we sat there with Tiffany Stratton, Sami Zayn, LA Knight, but then WWE World wise, Zoe Stark, Oba Femi, R-Truth, Dominic Mysterio, and Naomi.
Yeah. I interviewing Dominic, I think I saw that interview with him, and he's so fun because he really, really walks that line of
he does,
of kayfabe and real. And
that's
and
what makes Dom one of my top five favorite wrestlers today for that reason, because you see the passion, you see how much he loves it, and then just the back and forth, you know. When he's interviewing, you know, he's going to talk trash. I remember one time Rosenberg had him on the show, and he was like, and I was producing that one. Maybe it was one of the shows. And he was like, "Why didn't everybody clap? What about you, Brian?" I said, I'm producing. It don't matter. You know, but it's just going right into it, like going right into kayfabe.
Absolutely. You can tell he's having so much fun with it. So So Hall of Fame's happening as well. Who is somebody that's not in the Hall of Fame right now that you go, Brian H. Waters goes, they need to be in the Hall of Fame right now?
Jazz.
Okay.
Jazz and Sable.
Okay.
You can't tell the history of women's wrestling in WWE without either one of those ladies.
Yeah.
So Jazz and Sable.
My vote would probably be Goldust, right? Why no Goldust? Do you think we'll get that eventually?
We gotta
get Goldust.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. 1,000%. Goldust is definitely getting in. It's just whenever Dustin Reynolds decides to hang up the boots.
And he's like 55 now, right? Like,
yeah.
That's wild. That's wild. I love it. Brian H. Waters, thanks so much for joining us, man. Any final thoughts around podcasting, around production, man? Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a really good time.
No problem, Brad. I just want to tell you, thank you. You know, I appreciate what you're doing. And, you know, being able to do this and also like help people, because there's tons of resources out there. But, you know, and then sometimes people just don't know where to go, you know. So I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to, you know, speak on that. And I appreciate you doing, you know, the research and everything and, you know, being, you know, a listener.
Yeah, 100%. So, you know, to use the roll of shoes, this would be the point where I'd say, hey, put your plugs in, right? Like, so talk to us. Where can we find you? Where can we lean in? Find the shows that you produce. I know you're really prolific on social media as well. Mm-hmm. All down in wrestling Twitter as well. And so, yeah, just put your plugs in, man.
All right, so with social media side, Brian H. Waters everywhere. That includes X Threads, Blue Sky, Instagram, and TikTok. But if you want to, you know, follow, you know, the Ringer Wrestling, there you can get the Masked Man Show, which I produce, and every now and again jump on the microphone, and Ringer Wrestling Worldwide, which I, you know, host and produce. But then outside of that, the Wrestling Realm, where you can find me and my guys, you know, check us out there. And then me and my better half, Queen PR, 6HM Production, where you can find us doing show recaps and trending topic discussions.
I love it, man. Hey, thanks so much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you.
Cheers. Hey, fam. Thanks so much for joining us on Making Varsity. If you enjoyed this week's content, make sure to tap that subscribe button, leave us a rating and review, and share this episode with a friend. For more resources, check out the show notes below or join me on YouTube. Love you guys, and I'll see you next time.